We've talked about the idea of controlling weather, but is there any evidence? See it for yourself in the September After Dark magazine. Charles Osman writes about engineering weather and even moving hurricanes, complete with photos that you can't find anywhere else. Also, are machines finally smarter than we are? Will they take over? And time travel? Is it possible? And who has tried it? And an interview with John Lash on Archons. It's a complicated world out there, and the After Dark magazine is there for Coast to Coast AM listeners every month. News, humor, relevant information, plus an editorial by yours truly every month. It's your insider info into Coast to Coast AM. Subscribe now. Call 1-888-727-5505. Lines are open. 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. $39.95 for 12 monthly issues or online, coasttocoastam.com. Here's some exciting news for Coast to Coast fans. If you've already been a StreamLink member, you know what a super value our subscriber service is. For around 15 cents a day, you get such great features as podcasts, that's automatic downloads, Coast to Coast shows, directly onto your computer desktop or MP3 player. And by now, we've greatly expanded our full show library, so you have access to multi-year downloads. Imagine having hundreds of your favorite Coast to Coast shows at your fingertips to listen to, collect, and take on the go with you. You'll also get access to a whole library of Art Bell classics, Somewhere in Time shows, available as stream broadcasts, plus our fun live chat sessions, and we hold those twice a month. There's never been a better time to join StreamLink. You can visit coasttocoastam.com today to sign up on our secure servers. That's StreamLink. Simply visit coasttocoastam.com.
Here's what you missed on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Are you going to take the swine flu vaccine?
Absolutely not. I'm sorry.
No way.
Absolutely not. It's just people are getting such misinformation.
Swami, Dr. Bruce and I have already said we're not going to get the swine flu vaccine. How about you?
Well, I definitely don't need the swine flu vaccine. You know, I will channel Porky Pig to say, yeah, that's all, folks. No, I'm not going to get that.
Now we take you back to the night of September 22nd, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
We have had 2 hours of fascinating insight into the pyramids, into Bora Said's involvement with the pyramids, into his involvement with Zahi Hawass, and then the Shore Expedition. At the beginning of the discussion, we speculated about what the pyramids might be. And Bora Said, like myself, thinks they may in effect be a Stargate. I just got this fax. Art, did you have a chance to read Project Gateway to Orion's, an analysis of the Orion Pyramid Theory? I sent it to you about 2 weeks ago via priority mail. Boris said he wasn't sure when the pyramids were built. Well, the research Larry Hunter and myself have done shows the Orion Complex, the Giza Pyramids, and the surrounding pyramids must have been built prior to the Fourth Dynasty. Now, Project Gateway to Orion. That sounds an awful lot like a Stargate, doesn't it, Boris?
Yes, it sure does.
I just happened to have on the phone with me Alex Michael Knott from Project Gateway to Orion, I guess the American Anthropological Research Foundation. Are you there, Alex?
I am. Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm fine. That is what you believe the pyramids may be, is a Stargate?
Well, that isn't exactly what our research pertains to, although... There are certain people who, within our product, who do hold those beliefs. What we're doing with Project Gateway to Orion is trying to get a better understanding of the topographical representations of celestial bodies. So, what Bavall did in the Orion Mystery is he correlated the three pyramids of Giza to the three belt stars in the constellation of Orion. So now what Larry Hunter, my research associate, partner, realize he's a navigator. And by taking global positioning satellite system positions on the tops of each of the three pyramids, he was able to superimpose a map of Giza, marking the latitude and longitude, onto a map of the celestial sphere. So the celestial sphere is broken up into right ascension and declination. And if you were to get the positions of the stars on that grid and superimpose it onto the latitude and longitude, you could predict latitudinally and longitudinally where the other stars in the constellation would fall. Now, this is what Bouval tried to do in the Orion mystery, but he wasn't quite as scientific about it, and he made an error that was discovered by Mr. Hunter when he initially did his research. And what he discovered, and I think Boris would be familiar with this, is that Bouval assigned the Zaleop-Alarion pyramid to the star Bellatrix. And then he assigned, which would be a shoulder star, it would be the Orion from Earth's perspective, it would be Orion's right shoulder. And then there's another pyramid at Abu Ruwash, and Bouval wrote that that correlated the star Safe. But lo and behold, after Mr. Hunter did his research, he realized that actually Robert Bouval had it skewed, and that rather than Bellatrix correlating to Zaleop-Alarion and Safe to Abu Ruwash, if you swivel it so that the other shoulder star, which is Betelgeuse, and the other knee star, which is Rigel, correlates to those particular pyramids, then everything falls just beautifully. It works out perfectly. And
yes, but if not, then a stargate toward what end?
Well, this would be, I think, an expression of the mythos, which has Geb and Nut, this is ancient Egyptian mythology, as the star, the sky goddess was Nut, and Geb was the god of land, and what had happened was their intercourse was interrupted by the god Shu.
All right, but you're ascribing this to mythos, and indeed, Boris does not think it's all myth. He thinks there's hard science.
I think the myth sprang out of the science,
yeah,
rather than the other way around.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I think that the myth came from probably an early civilization's attempt to make sense of what they were observing.
Well, are you aware, and I'm sure you've been listening, with regard to the frequency studies inside the Great Pyramid and the frequency of our very own Earth?
It's fascinating. We've found what I consider pretty hard evidence that the pyramid complex, the Orion complex itself as a unit, not just individual pyramids, were built prior to the Fourth Dynasty. And I'm being conservative. I'm not going too far back. But there's good evidence that we're ready to reveal and disclose to the public through our project.
All right. Well, I've got on my studio cam right now, I've got a picture of your project, to Gateway to Orion. Well, it's not a book yet. I guess it's very well done. It's in a different form. It's in a pre-book form, and so they can go up there and see that. I want to thank you for allowing me to call you in, Alex, for just a moment, and thank you very much. And so there you are, Boris. What the work he's doing, it seems to me, though he ascribes it to mythology, really underscores what you believe to be true about the pyramids, if you remove the myth part from what he has discovered.
Exactly. I mean, I don't pretend to be able to understand what he just said. I'm a humble documentarian here, and it's over my head. But what I'd like to, what I think we have to encourage, is an open discussion of this sort of thing, and the reason. Again, the reason I was silent for 2 years was because I promised Dr. Shore I'd be silent when it became apparent to me that he was intent on sitting on the information and keeping it proprietary, is when I went public, because I believe that we should all know about this. That's why I'm doing this. I'm doing this work because I believe this is information that if there are enough guys out there, like the gentleman who just called and Larry Hunter and Dick Hoagland and all of the people in Bavall who are studying this thing, maybe somewhere there's an answer that's a practical answer to this cliff we seem to be running towards as a society.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some solution there, some out there. And that's why I'm doing it. The horror of these situations is that in order to do a network show, it takes so much money that you always wind up with somebody like a Dr. Shore who has the preponderance of the money and therefore ultimately can control the project. The punchline to all the stuff I've been telling you was that when we came back from Egypt and I wanted to basically confront the Antiquities Committee with what we'd found down in that well, and of course Dr. Shore didn't want to because his permit had been canceled. Mm. We had quite a falling out, and he demanded his film back, which he can legally do. Of course, I have an absolute unrestricted and total and exclusive right to market and sell. So it's your classic cut the baby in half. You can have the film, but there's not much you can do with it, and there's nothing I can do with it.
So right now, it just sits. Nobody can see it. Nobody can use it.
Well, here's what I want to do, and it's one of the reasons that I agreed to come on. You know, I mean, Art, you've been at the forefront in this thing, and a lot of people listen to you, 15 million people listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
I have, for the last 6 weeks since this problem started with Dr. Shore, have had two friends who are cameramen who've been prowling around the plateau with small digital cameras. And they have, in fact, been reshooting a lot of the stuff that we captured network quality with Betacam and 16-millimeter Aeroflex.
Under your auspices.
What's that?
Under your auspices.
Under their own auspices at the moment, because my situation with Dr. Shore until a week ago was quite muddy, and I wasn't quite sure where we were going to be, but I didn't want this information to die. And while it was summertime in the doldrums in Egypt, these guys, being Egyptian, prowled around over there. They have been up over the King's Chamber and have filmed that passageway that was the subject of Dick Hoagland's conversation with you.
All right. He, by the way, submits the following question, Boris. Dick Hoagland does.
Okay.
He says, describe the video you shot of Hawass's secret tunneling above the King's Chamber in the pyramid in November of 96.
Okay, I want to qualify this. Richard and I are good friends, and I have never believed that I've always believed that if that was in fact a secret tunnel, why in the world would they give me permission to drag a film crew up there? As I say, when I asked for permission to go up and film those rooms, nobody said, no, it's too dangerous, or no, you can't go, or no, it's off limits. They said, sure, you know, you pay your $700 or whatever it is, and up you go.
Mm-hmm.
We, in taking our crew up there, and I have since, this has been reshot on High 8, which is what we're coming to here, but on the first level above the King's Chamber, there are four sort of flat chambers. When I say flat, they're about 4 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
They're somewhat larger in area than the King's Chamber. And they look more like spaces and baffles in a speaker than they do like chambers. And then the fifth chamber, Lady Campbell's chamber, I believe it's called, is domed, is peaked. It has a peaked roof. And that's where the famous red cartouche is ascribed to, which ascribes the pyramid to Khufu, the famous sort of fake cartouche.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, we went up there, and on the first level, running from east to west, let me get this right, running a little bit south of west, was a new tunnel which was being cut parallel to that chamber. I couldn't imagine for the life of me why they were going parallel to the chamber, why they didn't just go down the end of the chamber and start there. But in any event, and that tunnel in the three trips I made to those rooms got progressively longer. The stuff they were carving out, the stones and stuff, when we were there in the spring of 1996, they were bagging the refuse, the stone and stuff, and they were storing it in the second chamber. In other words, they were hauling it up a level and storing it in the second chamber, which I thought was bizarre. But anyway, And then apparently, recently, they've been removing it. Over the last year, they've progressed to where there is now a 220 wire going up the wall from the King's Chamber, from the entrance to the King's Chamber, up into this area where they're digging the tunnel.
I've got documentation of that from Larry Hunter. I've got photographs of that cable.
Okay.
They also turned a security camera around to the wall.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. I got to tell you that Dr. Hawaz has never given me an idea that there was something up there I shouldn't shoot. And so I questioned the whole conspiracy and secrecy theory, and that's something Richard and I have always argued about. But I can only tell you that, yes, it's true, I have got footage. And what I am proposing to do is summarize what we've been talking about tonight.
All right.
And I'm next week going to be editing together a 45-minute documentary, which will not be a network documentary. We're going to do it with Hi8 and digital footage, and it will not be a network quality show. You know, Charlton Heston is not going to be the narrator. It'll be professional voice. And it will basically be a summary of what I've learned in Egypt in the last 2 years of this expedition, with a little of the stuff from the West expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to raise the money to carry this project on. I'm trying to raise the money to go back and reshoot some of this footage professionally and somehow get this thing on the air in spite of Dr. Shore and his millions. And what I'm hoping to be able to do is make this tape available. I'd like to make it available to your listeners. Basically for a donation. We have a shipping and handling and production cost that runs to about $9. I mean, it will cost me about $9 a tape to make the tape, duplicate it, and get it shipped out. So any donation in excess of that anybody cares to make would go to a wonderful cause, and I will be sending out these tapes within 30 days.
All right, we will tell people how to get involved with that in a moment. Stand by. It's the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. Boris Said is my guest, telling you now what he has been unable to tell you for 2 years. All about the pyramids. Boris Said, right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 22nd, 1997.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Trust the vibe.